Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50.
This week, our program continues our examination of what Ashton Applewhite calls aging while female.
Our guest today is Kathy Hanauer, who is the author of three novels and the editor of The Bitch in the House, 26 Women Tell the Truth About Sex, Solitude, Work, Motherhood, and Marriage, and the recently released The Bitch is Back, Older, Wiser, and Getting Happier. Welcome to the program, Kathy.
Thank you so much.
In your book, The Bitch in the House, the contributing authors wrote about their dissatisfaction with having to carry a heavy load of career and family. What has changed for these women as they've gotten older?
Well, for one thing, most of them don't have to carry a heavy load of career and family anymore, which is a big change. I felt in my own life, and I think a lot of these contributors did too, that it gets easier. I think for me, and for many working women, it's really hard to have a young family and a job, and you're just constantly going. And if you're a person that's introspective or likes to think or needs certain things, if you're a high-maintenance person at all, that's hard because you don't really have any time for yourself. You don't really have time to think about what you're doing or what you want to be doing. You're just going and going. And, you know, it's funny because we were supposed to be the generation of choice, but I think at that time, there's really not a lot of choice. These are the kinds of things Hope Edelman talks about, how her life has changed and how her marriage has changed. She's one of the ones in Bitch One, The Bitch in the House, which came out in 2002, who was really angry. She was angry because she felt she had given up her career or sacrificed a lot to take care of her children, and her husband had not done that. And she was angry about it and felt just overwhelmed by it all. And now, looking back 15 years later, she's realizing what she got out of that, too, and how, you know, even though it felt then like it wasn't a choice, she can see now with some perspective how it was a choice and how, as she says, I was making little choices all the time, you know, to be involved in the raising of my children as opposed to, you know, hiring someone full-time, to stay in my marriage. So there's more wisdom in this book, I think, and less anger.
Pam Houston wrote, a woman is told in a million different ways that if she finds herself alone at middle age, it means she's unlovable, unattractive, unappealing, unsexy. But what if it means she's independent, self-entertaining, free-spirited, and self-possessed? How do we begin to change this kind of perception of older women?
And I love that question, especially because, you know, Pam wrote in the first book, too, about debating whether or not to have children. And her piece was the last piece in the first book. She ended the piece with, I opened the book about adoption. And so it was kind of a cliffhanger, I felt. And in this book, she comes back to say, I decided not to adopt a child because she realized she valued solitude and her dogs and her animals and certain other things more than she might have wanted to be a mother. And so how to change the perception? You know, I'm not sure that's something you can really change for people that don't get that. There are people out there that just will never understand needing and wanting solitude. You know, it's funny. I sometimes will go out and eat alone. I actually love to eat alone, whether at home or out. And I know people, my husband's one of them, who really don't like to eat alone. You know, they feel embarrassed to go out alone. And I just think it's so funny. It just would never occur to me to feel embarrassed about sitting with a book or just sitting by myself. I love it. I can look around and not worry about anyone else's needs.
We wanted to ask what you learned about women and aging from the authors in The Bitch is Back.
I think maybe what I learned is it's very important when you reach a certain point in your life to dig deep and figure out what you really want and then go for it and make it happen. And that's where happiness lies, I think, or contentment. You know, figuring out, do I want to stop caring how much I weigh, as Anne Hood writes about? Or do I want to do some things to my face, as Deborah Spohr writes about, and dye my hair and look younger? Which kind of person do I want to be? Do I want to accept that I'm in a low-sex marriage and not care that, you know, society doesn't seem to respect that? Or do I want to work to make my marriage a different kind of marriage than it is? You know, do I want to leave my husband? Do I want to give up being sexual, as Lynn Darling writes about that? After breast cancer and after being widowed by her husband, you know, she's trying to let go of desire. And it's a really beautiful piece about struggling with that. And I don't want to give away the ending, but sort of ultimately realizing that in a way it's not up to her. you know, that in some ways passion is life. Cynthia Kling, too, writes her pieces called A New Life Under the Ladder. She writes about working with prisoners, and she got to a point, she describes this in a very funny way at the beginning of her piece, where, you know, she'd had sex 10,000 and whatever times with her husband, tried every position. She was bored. She'd already gone through all the usual midlife crises, and she needed something else, and she went for it, and she found it, and it just changed her life dramatically and gave her a new purpose. So I think if there's one lesson to this book, it's dig deep and figure it out, and then don't be afraid to go for it.
The subtitle of your book is Older, Wiser, and Getting Happier. In what ways do you think women can find greater happiness as we get older?
Some of it is just what I just said about figuring it out, you know, and some people can figure it out on their own. It's easy, and other people might have to do something to figure it out, you know, go into therapy or join some kind of group or read some certain books or talk to friends or whatever, a way to figure out what you want, what you really want, and what's meaningful to you. And I think that's the key to getting happier. I mean, I think we used getting happier. We debated between mostly happier or just older and wiser and happier. But I think that, you know, we agreed on getting happier so that it didn't sound all rosy and solved, because their life is not always neatly tied up in a bow. You know, you're still debating things, and you can still change through your 70s and 80s, maybe even 90s.
Well, we want to ask something along those lines. When we started the show 3 years ago, we routinely ask guests what they would say to their younger selves. What are some of the central messages of the women who wrote in both books about what they know now that they didn't know 14 years ago? And for you, too.
You know, I would have told myself that it gets better, it gets easier. You learn to not care so much. If you're going to stay married, for me, the key was being able to get what I need while staying within my marriage. You know, so many of the cliches we have about marriage, you have to make dinner every night, you have to have sex every 2 days, you have to sleep in the same room, whatever it is, all the time. You can do some things that maybe aren't by the book, but they might work for you. You have a new freedom.
The note of freedom sounds like a good one on which to end the interview. Kathy, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Sure. Totally fun. Thank you for your interest.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to our website at chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week and hope you will be too.